As you can tell, today we are coming to the Lord's table to celebrate the communion service. It's what Jesus did with his disciples the last evening he had with them. He gathered in the upper room, and they engaged in the Passover meal. As they were gathered around the table, Jesus had been with his disciples 3.5 years. He'd been trying to teach them what the kingdom of God was all about, what their role was going to be in it. And what were they doing around the table? They were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. Jesus had every reason to be very discouraged. He'd spent 3.5 years, and he'd gotten absolutely nowhere. The disciples still didn't have a clue. Except Judas was convinced he had a clue. Judas seemed to be convinced that Jesus was, he had the power to rule, he had the ability to rule, but he had a personality flaw that every time the opportunity arose, he walked away from it. And sometimes, you know, you have to maneuver somebody into the position they were made to be in. Have you ever tried that? You see something in somebody else and you try to bring it out, whether it's in your kids or a friend. And you kind of set them up to succeed. Judas had a plan. If Jesus were put into a position where his life was truly at stake, well, what do human beings do when their life is on the line? We generally do whatever we have to do to try to save it, which proves Judas didn't have a clue. Because what did Jesus say over and over again? If you want to find your life, then you need to lose it. If you want to get, you need to give. The one who tries to keep his life will lose it. The one who gives it away will find it. God's kingdom works by a totally opposite set of principles from the way kingdoms of this world work. God's kingdom works on the principle of love and giving. This world's kingdoms operate on the principle of control and taking. I just love it. The government wants to give us all this stuff, but in order for the government to give us something, what do they first have to do? Take it. The government doesn't have any money, folks. If they give you anything, it's because they took it from somebody else, right? But that's not the way God's government works. God's kingdom is about giving. And in giving, it comes back, and it comes back multiplied, which doesn't make economic sense, but it makes kingdom of God sense. Judas was convinced that Jesus just needed a little help to step up and take control. So he planned to betray Jesus, put him in a corner so he'd have to come out and step forward. And they're gathered around the table. And, of course, you know, they're all jockeying for the best position at the table. And Judas got on one side of Jesus, and John got on the other side. And all during the meal, Jesus very subtly but clearly let Judas know that he knew what he was up to. First of all, he said to the disciples, "One of you at the table here will betray me." One of the 12. And of course, they're all amazed. Who would do that? Is it I, Lord? Who is it? Now, you have to read all four Gospels to get all these pieces. Evidently, a little later, Jesus said, "It's one who's dipping in the dish with me." Now, just picture yourself around a table, a long table, with bowls of chips and salsa, okay? You're going to dip your chip in the bowl that's within arm's reach, right? We've got some great salsa makers in this church, by the way. Want to commend you for that. I can see some of you sitting out there. You're going to dip within an arm's length. What he's saying is it's one who's either on either side or right across the table. Wow, the guys on the end probably felt a great sigh of relief, right? I think it was Peter. Peter always wanted to know something. He said to John, hey, ask him who it is. Now, what does that tell you? We know John was sitting beside Jesus. We know Peter wasn't at the other end of the room. He'd had to say, hey, John, ask him. You know, Peter was one of those close enough to dip in the dish probably because he could lean over to John and say, hey, ask him. Jesus said, evidently to them, not shouting to the whole table, it's the one I'm going to dip and hand it to. So Jesus dipped a chip and handed it to Judas, so to speak. Now, this would have been unleavened bread. Hey, but that's chips, isn't it? And Judas said, is it I? And Jesus says, you said it. Get on with it. Do what you're going to do. Do it now. Jesus spent the evening. Just remember, Passover went for several hours. It was a ceremony and a meal and ceremony after the meal. And you go to a good Jewish home now for Passover, plan to spend at least 4 hours. All right? So during this time, Jesus is slowly letting Judas know, I know what you're up to. I have knowledge. He's trying to convince Judas to change his mind. Judas plows on into the night. But I think it's before Judas left that Jesus noticed that everybody had dirty feet. Because you walk in sandals on dirt streets and your feet get dirty, and it was only good etiquette for a servant to be arranged for to come in and wash all the guests' feet. There's no servant who washes feet, the person at the bottom of the pecking order. Well, if they're all arguing about who's going to be the greatest, nobody's going to admit they're the least. So nobody was about to use the basin and the towel over against the wall. It just sat there until Jesus got up and he took off his outer garment. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He took the posture of a servant. He got the water and the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. When he got to Peter, Peter says, Lord, are you washing my feet? Kind of a rhetorical question. Never. Now, Peter is thinking kingdoms of this earth. Jesus' kingdom is like kingdoms of this earth. He's to be the ruler. We're to wash his feet. He's not to wash our feet. He's to be high, and we're to support him. They're thinking like we think. We often, I believe, think about God as a king like we think about earthly kings. What do earthly kings want you to do? Whatever they say. Bow down. Be obedient. Abase yourself. And tell them how great they are all the time, right? Oh, you're the greatest, O King, live forever. We hope you're around forever and ever and ever. And we get the idea that worship maybe is God wanting to be a king, and he wants us stroking his ego with our constant applause. I don't believe that at all. God is love. That's his prime attribute. He made us in his image. Therefore, we are saturated with this love thing. And what do we want? As beings that are imbued with hearts that can love, what do we want more than anything else in this world? Somebody who will love us back, right? Now, does that mean we want somebody who'll go around saying, oh, yeah, you're the greatest. Oh, you're the greatest all the time. Oh, you're just wonderful. Do we want somebody to just stroke our ego? Yeah, there are some sickos that think that way, I guess. But in reality, what do we really want? We simply want to be loved. Is that a legitimate desire? Is it a legitimate desire then for God, who is love, to want somebody to love him? Yeah. Worship of God is entering into a loving relationship and spending time. It's not just stroking God's ego and telling him how great he is like an earthly king wants. God isn't into protocol. God is into relationships. Peter's thinking protocol. You're never going to wash my feet. That's the wrong protocol. Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Peter said, dump it over my head. Which means what? Peter wanted a part with Jesus, didn't he? He truly did. Even though Jesus tells him shortly, you know, you're going to, Peter says, I'll go with you to prison and to death. Jesus says, no, you'll deny me before morning. But don't let it bother you. When you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knows that Peter is weak and will deny him. And he also knows that Peter wants a part with him. Do you see the balance there? Do you want to be a part with Jesus? Do you want a part with Jesus? Do you want to be involved with him? That's a pretty weak answer for a church full of people. If I asked that down at the mall, I'd expect that kind of an answer maybe. But do you want to have a part with Jesus? Oh, that's better. I feel encouraged. Have you denied him this week? Yeah, I did. I'm not going to tell you how. Not in your life. And you know, after you've done it again for the umpteenth time, and you know you didn't want to deny the Lord, but it just happened. And you don't really feel like praying because, after all, God's probably upset at you right now. I mean, we put human qualities on there. We feel like we have to kind of hang out and let it all kind of settle down a little bit before we can come in repentance. And after all, I just did it. How can I come back now and say I'm sorry? Because I'm still conflicted. Isn't that hypocrisy? You know, I'm really glad for God's foreknowledge. He knew ahead of time what I would do. And he forgave it 2,000 years ago and bore it at the cross. Isn't that right? God's foreknowledge is a good thing. He foreknew our sin, and he took care of it long before we ever did it. He knew Peter would deny him. He knows what you're going to do. He's already received it. He's already forgiven it. You don't have to wait for God to cool down. You don't have to pray a long time to get God to change his mind towards you. You simply need to come back and accept his grace. Isn't that right? Anyway, Peter is conflicted. He doesn't want Jesus breaking what he thinks to be kingly protocol. And yet, he wants to have a part with Jesus. So he says, dump it over my head. And this helps us understand the foot washing service just a little bit. Jesus said, you don't need a bath. You just need your feet washed. When we've given our lives to Jesus, just because you fell into sin this past week, did it mean you took your life away from Jesus? No. And does it mean Jesus put you away? No. He will never turn you away. No one can snatch us out of his hands. Amen? There's security in Jesus. So, you got your feet dirty in sin, then you need your feet washed. Jesus washed Peter's feet. Then he said, do you know what I've done? And he knew they didn't, but they would. sooner or later. If I, your Lord and Savior, have washed your feet, so you ought to wash one another's feet. Happy are you, fulfilled are you, if you do what I have done. We're going to participate in the foot washing service. We're one of the churches that still hangs on to that seemingly archaic ritual. Doesn't fit our society. It's a little awkward, it's a little weird, and it can be highly uncomfortable. Right? Yeah, you're all trying to act holy and righteous right now, but you know how you feel. You're sitting there saying, yeah, I love that foot washing. Why do we do it? Number one, let Jesus lean on you a little bit. He says you ought to. So surrender and go do it. Because he said you ought to. Secondly, he said you'll be happy, fulfilled if you do. It'll be a meaningful experience in your life. Thirdly, we need to humble ourselves before each other. We get all these posturing going on, and this is a good time. If there's somebody you've been on the outs with, ask them to participate with you and get on the ins with them. Lay down the stress. It's husband and wife. This is a good time to put away the week's stuff, the month's stuff, the year's stuff between you or friends. But one other thing, when you select a partner, go to one of the rooms, room 6 for men with men, room 1 women with women, room 5 mixed company. When you go to one of those rooms and select a partner, ask someone to participate with you, as you're washing their feet, it's ceremonial, I know, we all bathed our feet extra good this morning. But as you're washing that person's feet, who are you being to that person? You are being the hands of Jesus. Jesus washed their feet. You are, in the name of Jesus Christ, offering renewal and cleansing to that person. You are functioning as the body of Christ to one another. So we have the room set aside. We'll take a few minutes. Make haste slowly. In other words, take your time, but don't take all day. Select a partner. Head for one of the rooms. There are basins and towels there ready for you. Wash each other's feet. Humble yourselves before each other. Be Jesus to that person and offer them renewing and cleansing. Pray for one another. And your hearts will be fulfilled in Jesus, and then return and we will participate at the Lord's table. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, as we go to the foot washing service now, would you give us the humility? Would you give us the guts to go do it? Would you cause us to have an experience with one another and with you, and actually representing you to each other, that is truly fulfilling and meaningful and deep and uniting? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.